Okay, welcome to Defining Tanya. Up to Ice Pay. Yeah, last week we spoke, or a couple of weeks ago, we spoke about the Esospheres, which obviously demand a lot more time, but this is just basic definitions. Maybe a drop more than basic. Okay, Pay. Pnimiya Soratson. This is possibly one of the most important subjects to the important ideas to understand. And it's so simple, and it's so what's the word? I mean, I really literally understanding that when I first heard about this idea of the difference in Pnimiya Soratson and Chitsoniya Soratson, my life changed completely. Pnimiya Soratson is basically what you really want, and Chitsoniya Soratson is what you have to do to get what you want. The difference between going skiing and the 5 hour flight to get to France to go skiing. Like, do you want to get on the plane and go skiing? Yeah, you don't really. You want to go skiing. That's what Pnimiya Soratson is. So, what's another word for Pnimiya Soratson? Something that you want as an end unto itself. Tainug.
Oh no, yeah.
Oneg. Pnimiya Soratson is oneg. But that is what you get pleasure for. So you say to somebody's eating some nice food, yeah, and they're enjoying it. And you say to them, well, why are you eating that? And they'll say, well, it's giving me pleasure. And you say to them, well, why do you want pleasure? And they'll look at you like, what? What do you mean? What?
Because it's an end.
That's it. I want pleasure. Not for any reason, then it wouldn't be an end. By definition, if you have a reason for why you want something, then it's the reason that you want. It's not the end in itself. I said this over one of the Shererochers that I actually had my daughter wanted to wear nail polish, yeah, for the chasna. And I just said to her, I would rather you don't wear it. And she was like, why? And I said, I don't really have a reason. I just don't want you to wear it. And she would give me a reason. I want a reason. I said, well, I just don't want it. Isn't that enough? She said, and so I said, you know what? Okay, fine. I'll give you a reason. I don't want you to wear nail polish. Why? Kaka. That's what I said. Yeah. Well, I was trying to give over to her. In the end, she actually didn't wear nail polish. But the point I was trying to give over to her is the minute she understands. If she knows why, if she agrees with the reason why I don't want her to wear nail polish, she's not listening to me, she's listening to the reason. And I was saying that that is the reason why we marry women, because women are completely different to men. If you're a real man and if she's a real woman, don't get me wrong, the nowadays, you know, a lot of women are very manly and a lot of men are very womanly. Yeah, but a real man and a real woman are literally mysteries to each other. A real man has no idea why a real woman is looking in the mirror, cares how she dresses, likes to spend money on jewelry, you know, cares so much about, you know, the napkins on the table and et cetera, yeah. The women care about things that men have got no absolutely no relationship to, and women don't understand why men like cars or like, you know, watching football or whatever the things the men like to do. Yeah, so it comes out that that's what a marriage is based on, and that's why the chukim of the Torah are so precious, and that's why the goyim laugh at the chukim of the Torah, because the chukim of the Torah are really where our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam is that's really where the relationship's at. Why? Because tefillin, even though like tefillin's a choik, yeah, but it's got like a spiritual. I really enjoy sitting in tefillin. I feel very like holy and connected and stuff like that. Yeah, but when you're doing something and it makes absolutely no sense to you, why? Because the other wants it. You're really connected to the other. That's called
Right.
Purusarutsan. So when you don't understand the reason, dafka, when you don't understand the reason, that's when the connection takes place. So when your wife wants to spend, 12,000 shekels on a new shaita when she really wants to, and she understands the matzav with the money right now, and she really wants to, and you really don't like, you're like, what are you like, why? It's ridiculous, and you do it for her anyway. You really connected there.
So is it better not to know the reason then? Why do we encourage ourselves to know what's the reasons for things?
It's definitely in regards to the relationship. Remember, if you're doing something and it makes sense, then you're not really, it doesn't mean you're not doing it for her, but there's the chance if you wouldn't do it if it didn't make sense. Yeah. I'm not saying everything's a mystery by women. Sometimes they want to go to a restaurant where there's not a lot of people there. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. But it's not like I'm doing it because it makes sense to me. I don't care where I go particularly, but it makes sense to me. I'm just trying to explain to you that the Pnimius HaRatzon does not have reason to it. It doesn't have logic to it. It's about pleasure. There is no logic to pleasure. The reason, the fact that my young, the one, the fact that my kid likes herring, yeah, my dad literally would rather jump into a fire than eat herring. Yeah, that's, well, however that worked out, it could have worked out by many different ways. But the fact that he likes herring and he hates herring, the fact that she likes to do, she likes to spend money on this and he likes to save money or whatever it is, these pleasures, these are ends. They're not predicated on reason by definition. Pnimius HaRatzon is not predicated on reason. It's predicated on who you are.
I mean, also, I saw something nice in the Parsha that were Yitzchak and Rivka. I think the word is Akarahi. They were opposite each other. And I saw, like, Levi Yitzchak, that like you said, the men and the women, they have to be different. They have to be completely opposite to connect. So that was interesting. You talked about men and women being opposites.
Yeah, so that, I mean that, but the reason why we can connect so deeply to women is because we don't understand them. That's the point. It's ironic. It's the exact opposite of what you would think. But the real connection is when you're doing something that doesn't make sense to you, and you do it for the other, and you're like, I mean, I have no idea why you want this, but I'm, whatever you want, I'm here for you. That is a real relationship. That really is a real relationship. So anyway, Pnimius HaRatzon is what Hashem really wants, which is a yichud of kutcha b'ruach shchinte, which is a chasna with Am Yisrael. That's what his real desire is, as I understand it. And everything else that makes that possible, for example, this world, yeah, that is called chetzonius HaRatzon. That is a means to an end. Like, for example, if there wasn't a world and creation and a place where Nishmas Yisrael could choose Rabbeinu Shloim, then there couldn't be a chasna. So Hashem kind of, in a sense, needs to create the world so that he can have this chasna. Without the world, there couldn't be the chasna. So
Awesome.
Pnimius HaRatzon is the yichud of kutcha b'ruach shchinte. That's Pnimius HaRatzon. Bria Sa'olam, Maaseh Bereishis. Pardon me, is chitzonius haratzon. That's why Nishmas Yisrael was breathed into Adam, yeah, yapach bi'apov. He blew the neshama into the world, into Adam, and he spoke creation into being. Because speaking, you can speak for a long time, yeah. Speaking comes from what's called chitzonius of breath. Whereas Nishima, the blowing it, the breathing, as the Tanya says in the Zohar Kodesh, is coming from within you. It's not created. It's not like speech, which is a creation. Breath is just what was in you, just comes out. So that's called Pnimius HaRatzon. That's his Pnimius. That's what he wants. He wants Nishmas Yisrael. That's what Rashi says, the very first thing. In the Chumash, first Rashi is Bishvil Torah, Bishvil Yisrael. That's why he created for Torah and for Yisrael. So that's the Pnimius HaRatzon. the chitzonius of Ratzon is that he had to create this world, so to speak, so that that could take place. And that's the same with you going to bed in the morning, going to bed in the evening, yeah? Like, you would rather not go to bed, but you have to go to bed, otherwise tomorrow you'll be exhausted, whatever. So you have to go to bed. And like, and you know what the most chetzonius or rotson thing that there is that you do is going to the bathroom. And it's funny because that we use the word need for. And in fact, in Chazal, we call that srochov, your needs. That's why it's hard to say that Hashem needs. Because when we talk about Hashem needing, we obviously, and that was the reason why Paroi didn't go to the, by Paroi didn't want his chevra to know they went to the bathroom. Because going to the bathroom, no one wants to go to the bathroom. Meaning, you need to go to the bathroom, yeah? But you don't want to go to, you would rather, if you could press a button and never have to waste any time excreting, yeah, you would do that. So going to the bathroom shows that's called srach of your needs, which means that you are subservient to a greater power. Call it Mother Nature, whatever you want, call it whatever you want. But that's the idea of going to the bathroom. That's why I think that by the mitzvah of Tchumen, yeah, Tchum, where you can walk 2,000 amos on Shabbos. Yeah, you know you're allowed, it's about a mile and a bit, something, mile and a third, something like that, about 1.5 kilometers, something like that. You're allowed to walk that far on Shabbos, and you can't walk further. That's your gvul, yeah? But you are, for one reason, it's all bad weather as well, but one of the very few reasons you're allowed to go out of that boundary is if you need to go to the toilet. You're allowed to walk for miles and miles and miles if you need to go to the toilet. And I was just thinking, you could say like this, that the tchum is there to remind you that you are limited by a greater power than yourself. Yeah, you're limited by the tchum Shabbos. You can only go 2,000 amos. So Chazal said, you know what, if you need to go to the toilet, you can go out of there. Why? Because you're still limited by you need to go to the toilet. So you're not going to delude yourself into thinking that you're unlimited. So the 2,000 amot chum is there to stop you from going further, to keep you limited, to remember that you're a limited being. And so you can go out of that if you need to go to the bathroom, because it's like you're swapping one limit for another limit. That's a side point. Anyway, so that's Pnimius HaRatzon. Pnimius HaRatzon is Yisrael doing Torah and mitzvahs. That is the yichud of Kudsha Brichu Shchintayev, HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Shechina. That's Pnimius HaRatzon. Okay, onward. Itzi, okay? It's clear?
You guess so? Sure.
Yeah?
Okay. Pnimius Ratzon means connection with Hashem.
No, Pnimius HaRatzon is, well, Ra Hashem's, Pnimius HaRatzon means what Hashem truly wants,
Hashem truly wants. Okay.
as opposed to something that he has to create so that he can get to what he truly wants.
And what does he truly want? And get
He
that.
wants the yichud of Kudsha Bruch Hu Shchintei.
He wants the relationship, I guess.
Wants the relationship. I don't like to say that. He wants the yichud of Hashem and the Shechina. He wants to merge back with his Shechina. He wants his Shechina to merge back with him. If you want to call that relationship, you can call that relationship.
Got and just going back to the nails example, because I really like that example, where you told your daughter, "I don't want you to wear it," and she
Oh, yeah.
said, and she said, "Well," and you didn't want to give a reason. The reason you didn't want to give a reason is because if there's a reason, then she's only doing it for the reason, not because of you.
Exactly. What would it say?
But
What
it's
would you
your
say? What would you
reason.
say, Yitzi? What would you say if your wife came up to you and she said, Yitzi, could you just not wear that hat today, please?
I'll be like, why?
Yeah. And
And she said,
she just goes, I just don't like it.
I probably would not wear it.
Yeah. So I'm just saying that is, but
Because I
when
have 50 other hats, just by the
yeah,
way.
I knew obviously, but if it was something that you really wanted to wear, that's when you want something to wear, you're like, tell me why, just give me a reason. But the whole point of the relationship is then you're not, if it makes sense to you, then you are humbling yourself to the reason, you're humbling yourself to your logic. That's not
Exactly.
what the
That's okay.
relationship is. You don't, you're not humbling yourself to your, you're humbling yourself to your wife. And it's the best is when she doesn't have any logic, and that's why we marry women, because we don't understand what they want. We don't understand how they could, he could even entertain the idea of spending $10,000 on a ring. And in fact,
Or a
you
purse.
buy the same diamond ring, yeah, but it's a lab grown one that you can't see any difference whatsoever. Did you wouldn't even know which one's which. And they duff could want the expensive one because it's expensive. And you're like, why? You can save $5,000 and we could like do something else. But I'm just giving you these. I'm sure, obviously, not
I
all.
know it would be another good. One of the things I love that was written in here, my favorite lines is that. Is this line is that a marriage is God's classroom for kindness, patience, and self-transcendence. But this
Yes.
is also another reason why you're married to a woman, to do things that are above logic.
Well,
It's
that.
another stepping stone to get you to that relationship with Hashem, to follow him with no logic as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's the same in all relationships. Well, remember, if you're doing something for someone because it makes sense to you, you are not necessarily, this is the point, doesn't mean you're not necessarily humbling yourself to another person. It's, but for sure, if you're doing something that someone else wants, you don't understand it and you don't want to do it, then you're really humbling yourself to another person. That's really a relationship.
So, what would be the takeaway just of this little piece? So, what's the takeaway in terms of like an everyday relationships with people and everything? What am I, how do I live?
I mean, look, this kind of intimacy doesn't need to exist by your friends. You know, it might do, but it doesn't. It needs to exist in your marriage. When your wife tells you to do something and it makes no sense to you, in fact, the way you see things, you should do the opposite. But no, she wants it this way. And you do it that way. Yeah, you really merged with her just now. That really is a deep, it's a very deep, that is like the ultimate bond is where you put, especially when it's at the expense of your pleasure, when you put her pleasure above your pleasure and you don't understand her pleasure. That's like the ultimate act of marriage. Okay?
Okay.
Tov. Okay. Sadi, Simtum and Hestapanim. So the difference between Simtum and Hestapanim is the difference between Kamos and Eichus, between quantity and quality. They're both ways of stopping down levels of light. Yeah, Hashem, it's called the Or Ein Sof, let's say, and the act of creation is done through stepping down his level of light. Okay, so like just like you've got a good example of this is you've got a rock, a completely smooth, clean rock, and you take a diamond chisel and you scratch out Yitzi. Yeah, before you did that, there was no Yitzi. Now you've removed some of the rock. Now there we see the name Yitzi. That's how creation works. That creation is an absence of creator in a sense. Not really. Not kapshutoi. But that's the idea. So there's two systems, so to speak, or two styles of downgrading the divine light. One is called Tzimtzum, one is called Hestapanim. Okay, Tzimtzum is a reduction of the quantity of light, and Hestapanim is a reduction in the quality of the light. In either case, they detract from the light. They lower the level of light, but one is detracting from the quantity and one of the quality. So there's a bunch of differences, and there's some very good mashalim, metaphors, is that as a photographer, hold on a minute. As a photographer, this is very like in my, I feel very comfortable with this. You have the aperture in the camera, yeah. The aperture is a hole, an adjustable hole, yeah, in the camera, and it stops down if it's very bright. Your pupil, look at your eye. Yeah, look in your eye dilates and contracts. That is symptom. When it's dark, your eye dilates. Yeah, the pupil gets bigger. It's really actually the iris that dilates, but whatever. The pupil dilates, it gets bigger to allow in more light. And when it's very bright, if you go out in the sun, look at people's eyes, you'll see that the pupil is very small because it's letting in less light.
You know, I wake up in the morning, it's dark in my house. I'm the first one up, thank God. And I turn the light on.
Yeah.
I almost feel like my eyes are adjusting, like I can
Of
feel
course.
them
Yeah.
like doing something.
Yeah, they are exactly. You're like, vroom, vroom, vroom.
Yeah, exactly.
That's your aperture. The apertures of your eyes closing down. Because when you wake up in the morning and it's dark, your eyes are dilated to the max. Yeah. And then the minute the lights come on, they contract quite down. So imagine that's in regards to letting light in. But if your eyes were torches, yeah, were like flashlights, yeah, it
Oh,
would be the
brilliant.
same idea. If it's very wide, it lets out a lot of light. If it's very small, it lets out a drop of light. Yeah. So that's Tzimtzum. Now, Hestepanim is a veil. It's a filter over the light. It is like a veil. How do you say that? Like netted curtains. You know what I mean? Netted curtains. What do you call them in America? Like kind of white,
Shades, like curtains, shades.
but meaning like in England they have them all the time. Netted curtains. Lazy, you know what I'm talking about? Netted curtains. They like go underneath the real curtains. And the real curtains like close the window and stop the light.
Yeah, very, it's very thin
Yeah,
material.
they let light in, but it just means people can't see in the house, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is the idea of Hestepanim. Now there's a couple of very important nafkaminas here, things that come out. Is so you there's two ways of stopping down the light. You can either contract the amount of light, yeah, that's called symptom.
Okay.
Or you can put a veil over the light, like a filter over the light, and that will also cut down the light. But you're not cutting down the amount of light, you're cutting down the quality of the light. So what's the difference? The difference is by Tzimtzum, the light that you experience through Tzimtzum is the exact same light. It's no different. It's just less. Whereas the light that you experience through Hestepanim is actually a different light. It's been affected. The actual light has been modified, not the amount of light. The actual light has been modified. So it's interesting. So it just we called it Hestepanim. What did we call before? We said about Panemius
Why is it, sorry, why is it modified? It's the same, there's the same light coming for Hester upon him, but there's this thin veil, so it's just reducing the amount. But why did it change the same? It's the same light.
No, it's well. It depends on what the filter is, I suppose. You can have a neutral density filter. In the photography, there's a thing called a neutral density filter, which literally it looks like a bit dark grey. It doesn't change the quality of light. It kind of changes the quantity of light. It just stops down the light. Yeah, but you can a filter like if you've got a slightly green, a slightly green tinge in the veil, yeah. It will add a green to, it will change the quality of the quality of the light. So the idea of the veil is it changes the quality of the light. Okay, there could technically be a veil that doesn't do that, but we're talking about a veil that does do that. That's the basic idea of a veil. Okay, why is it called Hestepanim? So it's actually good because we just learned before about Pnimius Haratzon. Hestapanim means it covers the face. It covers the Pnimius Ratzon of Hashem. It's Mamash Hashkacha, they're right next to each other. It covers the Pnimius Ratzon of Hashem. That's what Hestapanim does. Another name for Hestapanim is Klipa. Synonymous terms. Synonymous terms.
Yeah, it couldn't be Tsimshum because it. Well, I know why couldn't it be Tsimshum? Why is it Hester Potem Klippa?
Tzimtzum doesn't conceal Hashem. In fact, Tzimtzum reveals Hashem. And in the words of Rav Haas, what was the greatest revelation of God ever?
Tsimshum.
The original Tzimtzum. Tzimtzum allows you to experience the other. You have to be mitzamtzem yourself, yeah, for you to be able to. For another to be able to experience you, assuming you're bigger than them, you have to be mitzamtzem yourself. But you don't want to be musty yourself. See, tzimtzum means that they're getting you just at a level that they can contain. Hestapanim is they're getting you, but they don't know it. That's like Hestapanim is Klipa. Klipa is Gematria Bechira. And that is the point of Hestapanim. Hestapanim conceals the Pnimius Ratzon so that you have an alternative option. Hestapanim makes you feel that you are an independent being. And now you have free choice. Hestapanim gives you free choice. Tzimtzum does not give you free choice. Tzimtzum gives you metzias. It gives you existence. You exist, but not as something separate and alive. I mean, you could probably say it's alive, but not as you don't have any independent. You couldn't do an aveira if there was just Tzimtzum. Yeah, there would be no aveira. There would be no aveira available to you. That's the concept of Tzimtzum and Hestapanim. That Tzimtzum stops down the level of light, and if there was no Tzimtzum, you can't have Hestapanim without Tzimtzum. Because you can't put a veil over light that is too strong. So there has to be Tzimtzum that gives rise to the creation. But the creation with just Simpson doesn't know that it has any independent existence. That's the
Okay,
point.
one quick second, if you want, just one quick second. Okay, I'm here.
Okay. So. Yeah, so that is Hestapanim. That is Tzimtzum and Hestapanim. Again, Tzimtzum is a diminishment in the amount of divine light, which gives rise to reality as we know it. But well, not really as we know it, it gives rise to reality. Hestapanim is a filtering of the quality of that, is the filtering of that light. Which doesn't give rise to create to reality, it conceals God in reality, which means now we have free will and we are available to actually choose God, as opposed to kind of just be on autopilot like a kind of Tesla robot kind of thing. Did you get that?
Yeah, I'm just it's, sorry for this question, but why is it important to know the difference between Tsimshum and Hester Panem?
Well, I mean, just technically, that's the I suppose the point is that I love when you ask these questions. See, at the end of days, the way the Tanya explains it is that Hestapanim will be taken away. So we to know. I mean, on our own level, there is, I suppose. an example of tzimtzum would be when your child brings you home a, a paper from cheder, and they've done really well, and you're actually really happy as well because they've done really well and etc. Yeah, and you just beam and smile at them and say, "Wow, you're such a good boy. This is fantastic. Well done. This is really, really special. I really appreciate this." Yeah, what you've done is you've been with Samson yourself. You gave him who you really are. Like that is your real. That's who you love him. You love him deeply, yeah? And you were able to express some of that love. You had to kind of phrase it in his language. Like you couldn't say, like Cole, that's really a very sophisticated fan. I'm really deeply impressed by the craftsmanship here. And you couldn't give over on a very sophisticated level how you're really feeling inside. Well, I'm really feeling like that, that my purpose as a father is being fulfilled right now by the fact that you're being successful in school. You can't say that to him. He'll just look at you like you're a nut, yeah? So you just big smile and say, "Cole, that's beautiful. Well done. Kol hakavod." Yeah? But that's really you. It's you just crunched down. What about when he does something really naughty? Now you have to wag the finger and shake your head in disapproval, etc. Yeah, that's not you. You don't want to do that. That's hester pana, meaning you're concealing who you are is your love for him. That's who you are. So to give him your love, you have to constrict that down and put it in a packet that he can appreciate. But when he does something that needs now that isn't in accordance with your will, now the reaction is going to be a Hester Punemdicker reaction. I mean, you're going to conceal your inner will, which is your love for him, and you're going to contain it in a vessel of disapproval. That's it on a very practical level. So, I mean, to understand these concepts are very. I think as you get them clearer and deeper, those kind of questions fall away because they're so foundational, like. And it comes up in all, I can see this over and over. I mean, that's the point of what we're doing right now is this idea of defining these terms. And it just, they like, it, these ideas are just so foundational that it's like, it's you'll see it in every strata of your life. When you understand the difference between stopping down with quantity and stopping down with quality, you'll see it played out everywhere. Okay. We'll call it a day.
Okay, square.